So we'll start with an article from CNN from a few years ago. Kamakura, Japan. Okay, I don't know where that is in Japan, but somewhere in Japan, passed a law. Street food is a staple of many countries, but does that mean you should both buy and eat your food in the street? Japan is struggling to answer that question, particularly when it comes to popular tourist areas. Kamakura. Anyone ever heard of Kamakura? Okay, no, so I don't feel so bad. Kamakura in the prefecture of Kanagawa is one of them. In April, this is a few years ago, the city issued an official ordinance asking visitors not to eat while walking. One major concern is trash from packaging and leftover food, which can attract animals and make a mess that locals will have to clean up. Okay? Area is one of the best known for temples and beaches, blah, 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 blah. Okay, no fines were handed out. I want to get to, though, the key line, though. However, CNN says that concerns about eating while walking aren't just related to potential spills and messy clothes. Many Japanese people believe it is poor manners to walk or do other physical activities while eating because it means you're not appreciating your food properly. For some, this belief has its roots in World War II when food was scarce and it was something that was to be treasured, not treated casually. Okay. The issue of tourists eating in the street isn't a concern isolated to Japan. Florence, Italy has a ban and Bangkok or whatever, blah, okay, etc. But I'll read the key line one more time. One more time. Many Japanese people believe it is poor manners to walk or do other physical activities while eating because it means you're not appreciating your food properly. So my question to you is, Baruch Hashem, we have a nice simcha room. And Baruch Hashem, we have some great kiddushes, especially the ones with chon and kogel. You know, you can't get better than chon and kogel, we said. So you make your kiddush, or you hear kiddush, on the kiddush table up front. Now, how far is it to walk to get the food the other end of the room? And you're going to go to a corner, 30 feet, 40 feet?
Ah, the chon's on the same table
with the room. Okay, so it's from the kiddush, but you don't have to go so far. But then you're going to go sit in the corner. You don't want to stand in the middle. Everyone's grabbing over you. So you go to your nice little side. Sometimes we have chairs around the side. So you go about, what do you say, 30 feet? 40 feet?
Less?
20 feet? Whatever. It's okay.
Whatever.
Well, it's not going to be such a whatever. So that's why I'm not whatevering it. When you call it mipina lipina, you would call it from corner to corner, no? Of one big room.
So the simple room is 60 by 60 if you want to remember.
See, okay, that's what I wanted to know. Perfect, okay. So definitely you're going about 30 feet. Definitely going about 30 feet if you take from the table to all the way above. So that's mipina lipina, from corner to corner. Is that considered kiddush b'makom suda? In other words, you drink your kiddush by the kiddush table, you go get your food, you pile up your plate, two plates, three plates, you juggle all your plates, you walk to the corner over there, and you sit down, plop yourself down, and you have your mizonos, you have all your food 30 feet away from where your kiddush area was.
Isn't it considered because you're doing everything in the same room?
That's what we're about to find out. Isn't it considered the same because you're sitting in the same room? Let me ask you a tough question, okay?
You could see where...
That was my next question. But let me be very... Don't say you can see. I'm asking it as a question. It's a Jeopardy game over here. Can you see the place from the corner of the Simcha Room? Yeah? Can you see the place, exact place that you made Kiddush? Now, there are some pillars in the middle.
People.
There's big, large people in the middle, right? And there's pillars in the middle. It's not so pashut that you can see the exact same place that you made Kiddush. That's a good point. You have to see the Shabbos candles. That's a good issue. But here I'm talking about Kiddush Makom Suda. Is it considered Makom Suda when I'm 30 feet away in the same room and I can't really see the place that I made Kiddush? Maybe if I turn my head a little bit, maybe. But not so clearly.
Didn't we have the same question with benching?
We have a question, a similar question with benching, but the question is this considered kiddush b'makom suda for kiddush purposes? It's going to be very similar to benching halachas, very similar. Says the Gemara in Psachim that Shmuel believed in ein kiddush ela b'makom suda. Okay. He says, however, hani mili mi bias la bias. It's only a problem if you go from house to house. Avo mi makom la makom, from place to place, very vague terminology, right? Bechad besa, in one house, it's not a problem. Well, it's not a problem. Then the Gemara says, Armavu an Rab Anan bar Chalu Tachlifa, Zimnim Sagina v'kamina kamidi Shmuel. Once I followed Shmuel, I used to follow Shmuel around. V'nochis me igla re'ara, he would go from the roof to the floor, okay? Attic to basement, v'adr mekadish. Then he would make kiddush. So meaning,
both places or in one place?
Say it one more time.
Would he make kiddush in both places?
He would make it a second time. Meaning, he wouldn't make kiddush on top and eat in the bottom. V'aframuna sovereign kiddush makom. So that's the Gemara we read last week. Says Tosos, avomi makom lamakom b'chad besa, from place to place in one house was fine. Perish, what does it mean? Oh no, sorry, it was not fine. Sorry, makom makom mechad beis. So it's like perish micheder labayis, from a room to a house, omi bayis laaliyah, or from a house, regular house part to the attic, kamo me igra laigra. That may be a discussion from a room in one house to another room, and we're not going to talk again. I'm not wading into whether you can make kiddush up here and eat downstairs. We'll leave that for previous generations to weigh in on. I'm not weighing in on that at all. But I'm just going to read to you some of the sources.
Did he eat in his attic?
So, no, because if he fulfilled kiddush b'makom suda, then he could do whatever he want. He did kiddush. This issue of Shmuel didn't seem, Shmuel apparently either made kiddush up there and went ate downstairs, or he didn't, meaning he was very machbid about kiddush b'makom suda and felt that going, that he says you could go within a house, perhaps. Let me read the last nine toasts, you'll see what I mean. He says, avo mipina lepina, from a corner to a corner of a room, that's not a discussion. That's fine. Yesh kiddush. That's considered kiddush b'makom suda. He says, kiechi d'lo chashiv shinei makom. It's not considered a change of a venue. It's not considered shinei makom. That's fine. So in other words, Shmuel, this whole discussion, you go from the attic to the basement, that's already a discussion, maybe a problem, not a problem. Gemara seems to indicate that, at least according to some opinions, it is a problem. But says Tosvos, there's absolutely no problem from going mipina lepina. Literally means from corner to corner. In other words, you got a big room, you go from one side of the room, you make kiddush on one side, you eat on the other side, that's fine, that's considered kiddush b'makom su'uda. Comes along the Ran and says, no, I learned this Gemara differently. He has a little bit of a different girsa. And he says, no. What Shmuel is teaching us, that even mipina lepina is a problem. In other words, kiddush b'makom suda must mean that you can't walk around. You have to be like the Japanese. You make your kiddush and you eat in that area. And the reason is, for the Japanese reason. The Japanese didn't come up with this in 2019 when that article was written. The concept of eating in the place that you're making kiddush makes a lot of sense. Because how are you koveya su'uda? By not walking around. Your wife or your mother never told you, don't walk around with your food, sit and eat. You know, we tell it to my kids all the time. You take your food and you're eating and sit down. Don't walk around, don't stand in your chair, don't play games. You know, sit down and eat. So therefore, in order to be kiddush b'makom su'uda, says, to designate your su'uda here, you can't walk around. What does Shulchan Aruch say about going mipina lepina? Listen to this. Shulchan Aruch says, ein kiddush ela b'makom su'uda. You got to be b'makom su'uda. U'bebayis echad, within one house, or one room, mipina lepina is considered makom echad, is considered one place, shim kiddush. But then he says something weird. Shim kiddush lecho bepina zu. If you made Kiddush in one place, v'nimlach lecho b'pina acheres, and then you go to the other place, afilu trakun gadol, even if it's a big room like the Simcha room, ein tzarich lachzer ulekadish. You don't need to make Kiddush again. What does that sound like? Ideally, what should you do? I don't want to do an Ein Tzarech. I don't want to do a Bidyavid case. You ask the rabbi, Rabbi Rosenfeld, where should I eat my food? I made Kiddush at the Kiddush table. Where should I eat my food? What's the answer? At the Kiddush table, says the Magen Avraham. The Shulchan Aruch just says, if you're a Bidyavid Jew, and you happen to have made Kiddush at the Kiddush table, and then you filled up your plate with your cholent and cookies and all your potato kugel, and you walked all the way to the other side of the table, and you started eating, and now you say to yourself, oh man, what did I, was I, did I fulfill Kiddush b'makom suda? Says the Shulchan Aruch, okay, no, you're not going to get the highest seat in Olam Haba, you'll get the second seat of Olam Haba. You're a bidyavid dick Jew. You're a bidyavid. But if
1,000 people
standing on. Okay, 1 second. Let me just be clear. There is no one who wants to abolish potato kugel kiddushes less than I. And cholent and potato kugel, no. I'm with you. But Lamaisa, maybe what you should do is, when you make Kiddush, right, keep your, all you need is your baits or whatever, because I have your, of mizonos is with you. So maybe at the Kiddush table, according to this Magen Avraham, you should pile up the crackers and the danishes or whatever on the Kiddush table, and then keep the cholent and the the other tables. According to the Magen Avraham, Shulchan Aruch is only saying, bidyavid, if you messed up, you're fine, you don't have to make Kiddush again. But l'chad chila, ideally, Kiddush b'makom suda means not from one corner of a 60 by 60 simcha room to the other 60 by 60 area of the Kiddush room. That's not going to cut it. L'chad chila, it has to be in one place, like the Japanese. Okay. Comes along.
So that's, yeah. That's saying that they have a buffet that you can't, that you make Kiddush.
So that's a good question. That is a very, very good question. That is really, I wanted to say next week, but it's not going to be next week. It's going to be 2 weeks because we have to do the men and women shear together next week. So we're not going to touch it. I will do a more female-friendly shear. But that is a great question. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. Or if you walk out of the house and walk in and out, does that mess up? Do you have to make Kiddush again? Let's assume, I think for this year, if you get food in another area and come back to the other area of the corner, I think you're fine. I don't think you have to make Kiddush again. But the way to solve all that problem, we'll solve the problem. Yes, you beat my next sentence. I was going to do it the other way. I was going to say, go get your crackers first. Get your crackers first. Well, everyone's fighting for the Kiddush. Everyone's, you go fill up your plate, get your crackers, everything like that. Then walk to the Kiddush table. Try not to get all the spills. People already spilled already. You put your plate down. You take part of your grape juice. You got your pile of regolach. You got your pile of crackers. And then you're fine. According to the Magen Avraham, you want to be a good Jew, the best Jew. Magen Avraham says, quite clear, that's what you have to do. Comes along,
You're talking about peanut to peanut. But in practical terms, let's say in our Kiddush.
Yeah.
So the Kiddush table is in the front, and like 5 feet away is where.
So you're getting into a very, very great but technical but unanswerable almost question.
Like how many
that
feet,
right? Again, you're 10 feet away. It's hard to say. Although wait till the end of the shiur and tell me if you still believe this. I would say anything outside. Let's give it a default answer to your question. Although I don't say this with such conviction. Let's assume it's within 4 amos, which is about 6 to 8 feet of around you, is considered your general area. But you start walking. Who are we kidding? The cholent and kugel on the other end of the table, and the stuff there is more than 6-8 feet. It's not right there. I'm talking about like taking a step back from the table. That about you're fine. But therefore, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say, in most shuls that I've seen, the Rav makes Kiddush for everybody.
Okay, so that's.
And now you have. And you have people sitting.
So we're going to talk about that in a second. Right. Where do you have to. We'll get to it. I'm going to get to it. We got a few more minutes left. First, I don't want you to think that the Magen Avraham is the only player in the game over here. There are many, including Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who disagree. They say, no, that's not what Shulchan Aruch is actually teaching you. There is no ideal. Hear me carefully. There is no ideal at all for the person who knows he's going to make Kiddush in one area, and he knows the food is in the other area, and he stands by the Kiddush table and says, Borei Pri HaGafen, and what is he thinking in his head? He's thinking, I'm going to walk right after this. I'm going to be the first on the line for all the food, and I'm going to run right there, and I'm going to eat right there. That person, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is fine. Because when he makes Kiddush, he has in mind, I'm going to fress on the other side of the table. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying, what Shulchan Aruch is telling you is that for the person who didn't have in mind at all, who wasn't thinking at all, or he maybe even thought he was going to have Kiddush and Besuda all by the Kiddush table, and he didn't. And he looks around, there's no crackers there, and he already made Kiddush. Now, he didn't have in mind, he has to go walk to the cracker table and have a cracker over there, so that person says, Shulchan Aruch, b'di'eved, he's Yotze. But l'charchiva, if you want to be an ideal Jew, all you have to do is think at the Kiddush table, I'm going over afterwards, to the other end, 30 feet down the room, I'm going to go have a cracker, and that will be sufficient. So you have a machlokas, how to interpret the Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham says, you better bring your crackers, ideally, to your Kiddush. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, nah, as long as you have in mind, that is sufficient.
You have the same thing as sukkah. You have in mind you want to eat in another sukkah.
Exactly.
You don't have to make the
bracha
again.
Yeah, way sukkah, correct. That's a berachas mitzvah. Here it's a little bit of kiddush b'makom suda. I don't know if it's 100% comparable, but I hear the point. Comes along, so how do we paskin? You have to be choshesh. Do you have to be concerned for this Magen Avraham, which would basically be a redo of our kiddush layout to put all the crackers on the kiddush table, or go get your food,
They have the schnapps and the beer on the table. They have crackers.
Should we do that? Should we encourage that or not? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, he does not mention this Magen Avraham Chumrah. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, you do not have to ideally have in mind when you do not have to ideally have the crackers on the Kiddush table. It's simply enough to have in mind that I'm going to go to the crackers 20 feet away afterwards. That is sufficient. However, the Mishnah Brura is a little bit of a compromise over it. He says, he writes like this, he says, Umikomakom, lecharchiva. What does lecharchiva mean? The ideal best Jew. Tov, Shalom, Lasur, Mimakom, Shekidish. He says, don't go to walking around the whole room. Toyesh Machmirin Gami Pina Lapina. Some people, the Magen Avraham, say you shouldn't go gallivanting around the whole Simcha room after you make Kiddush, unless Shoisa Daito Be'esh Shekidish Lecho Bapina Acheres Oz Mistaver Deinu Achmer Bezeh. So Mishnah Berurah takes a kind of a middle approach. He says, if when you make Kiddush, you say to myself, I hereby am going to have the cholent and the mizonoses right after in that other corner, then you're fine. But if you're like me, and when you make Kiddush, you know what you're thinking about? I'm starved. I really need a piece of potato gulal. And you're not really thinking about where it is or what it is or what. You just got to like, okay, I wish like my wife would come ready to hear Kiddush, right? Come on, new. That's what everyone's thinking when you're making Kiddush. That's the only thing that's on your mind. And if that's the case, then that doesn't really satisfy the Mishnah Berurah's ruling that you have to have active intent to know I'm going to have the mizonos on the other end of the room. Okay. So we need to tie it all together now. So now how do we paskin halacha l'maisa about all of this?
The simplest thing is to take your kos or whatever where you're going to kiddush on and walk over to where you're going to be.
I'm not saying it's hard to fulfill the halacha in the ideal way. I'm just putting you on the spot and asking you, have you ever done that? I'll tell myself, not always, not really. My father does it because my father is a super firm Jew. My father always has crackers in his hand when he's making Kiddush or puts it down right in front of him. And this way you do it. But most people don't do that. Just don't. The minhag velt is not to do that. So what's the heter? So what is the heter? So the heter is that the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasin Chelik Beis. I was going to ask Yaakov to stand on the chair to reach. Well, don't bother to get me the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasin, but we have two Chelik Alephs up there. In Chelik Beis, which I looked at last night at my house, but I didn't bring because I thought we had up there, but now I know we only have two Chelik Alephs up there. Why we have two Chelik Alephs? Good question. But in Chelik Beis of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he gives another leniency, even according to the Magen Avraham. That is, if you could see the other side of the room. In other words, even according to the Magen Avraham, who says, you really have to bring the food to you or bring the kiddush to the food right when you're making kiddush. It is sufficient if you could simply see that area when you're making kiddush, which then begs the question, which I don't have a good answer for you. In our simcha room, is it considered seeing the area if you have big people blocking you or you have pillars blocking you? My gut to that, my gut answer, and I don't have a good source for that, is that it is considered seeing. You don't have to actually see with like full vision, but if you're 20 feet away and there happens to be a guy, you know, gesticulating with his arms and blocking your vision or whatever, I still think that's considered seeing the area. Yeah.
I was going to say, Chas v'Chalila, yeah. Person's blind.
Right, so that's a separate, yeah. So. I think it just means you're within vision. It's not like you got this huge room that you could barely see and people are totally blocking. Here, people are walking back and forth. And look, our shul is Baruch Hashem, our kiddush are crowded, but it's not so crowded that like we got 1,000 people that you're like a mob that you can't see through the people. Yeah. Yeah, you can see bubbles. Correct. Well, the walls, yeah, but I guess the area, I'm not sure. Again, it gets a little bit vague about, I think we're talking about, you know, huge right. Room. You have like these huge, you know, these chassidish tishes where you're on one side, you can barely see the other side. Maybe that case would be not. But Shmir Shabbos basically says, you therefore, that's a huge kula. You don't have to bring your crackers to your grape juice. Fine. Now, the final issue, and this really gets into Mr. Herman's question, which is, like, how far is considered far for this halacha? You'll be surprised at this chumrah that they discuss. Often you have this, I don't know if it happens at your house, when you had your kids around your table, when you make kiddush, often the kids congregate around the person making kiddush. You have a long table, and the kids sometimes come up, and the father then pours off them kiddush, so they'll stand kiddush by one end of the table. We have a long table like this, let's say. And everyone comes up for kiddush. And then we have something that had a simcha. Everyone will go around the big table. People will come to the, because you can't hear. So you go right next to the person making kiddush. Then they're going to drink the kiddush there. And then they're going to go sit down 10 feet away or 8 feet away at the other end of the table. So is that good or not? Is that fine? So according to the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he says this is perfectly fine. Number one, you can see, he says, it's obvious what's the point when you're coming over to kiddush. You're coming over for kiddush knowing that you're going to go back to your designated seat right afterwards. So you're fine according to everyone. However, there are some poskim who are machmir. So I say for Shabbos Ayom in the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says, look, you want to be ideal. There's no need to, obviously, if you can't hear, you can't hear. But if it's just an issue of kavod, it's more appropriate to stay by your seat when the rabbi makes, in other words, the rabbi makes kiddush let's talk it out practically. The rabbi comes down, let's say he makes kiddush, let's say he makes kiddush down here. Let's leave that case. The rabbi makes kiddush down here. You should ideally, according to this Rav Shlomo Zalman, be in the place where you're going to eat your food. So you should be, you know, hovering over the food while the rabbi makes kiddush. There would not be an Indian to go forward to hear him, unless you obviously can't hear otherwise. So that is the way it goes. The upshot is the Prima Gunim answers that anything betoch Dalet Amos, within 4 Amos, 6 to 8 feet, you know, for sure is considered your area. And the final shita is Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, he writes that anything which is a long table, if you're around the table, you're fine. So in this table, if Yo came up here to hear kiddush and then he went back to his seat over there, that even though it's more than 8 feet, more than 10 feet probably, and so if that's the case, you're for sure fine, says the Kovetz Halachas of Shmuel Kanetsky, because it's all considered one table. He's around the table, that would be fine.